The Odyssey. Book I. Argument. Minerva's descent to Ithaca. The poem opens within 48 days of the arrival of Ulysses in his dominions. He had now remained 7 years in the island of Calypso, when the gods assembled in council, proposed the method of his departure from thence and his return to his native country. For this purpose it is concluded to send Mercury to Calypso, and Pallas immediately descends to Ithaca. She holds a conference with Telemachus, in the shape of Mance, king of Taphians, in which she advises him to take a journey in quest of his father Ulysses, to Pylos and Sparta, where Nestor and Menelaus yet reigned, then, after having visibly displayed her divinity, disappears. The suitors of Penelope make great entertainments, and ride in her palace till night. Phemius sings to them the return of the Grecians, till Penelope puts a stop to the song. Some words arise between the suitors and Telemachus, who summons the council to meet the day following. The man for wisdom's various arts renowned, long exercised in woes, O Muse! Resound, who, when his arms had wrought the destined fall of sacred Troy, and raised her heaven-built wall, wandering from clime to clime, observe and strayed, their manners noted, and their states surveyed, on stormy seas unnumbered toils he bore, safe with his friends to gain his natal shore, vain toils. Their impious folly dared to prey on herds devoted to the god of day, the god vindictive doomed them nevermore, ah, men unblessed, to touch that natal shore. Oh, snatch some portion of these acts from fate, celestial Muse, and to our world relate. Now at their native realms the Greeks arrived, all who the wars of 10 long years survived, and scaped the perils of the gulfy main. Ulysses, soul of all the victor train, an exile from his dear paternal coast, deplored his absent queen and empire lost. Calypso in her caves constrained his stay, with sweet, reluctant, amorous delay, in vain for now the circling years disclose the day predestined to reward his woes. At length his Ithaca is given by fate, where yet new labors his arrival await, at length their rage the hostile powers restrain, all but the ruthless monarch of the main. But now the god, remote, a heavenly guest, in Ethiopia graced the genial feast, a race divided, whom with sloping rays the rising and descending sun surveys, there on the world's extremest verge revered with hecatombs and prayer and pomp preferred, distant Elea, while in the bright abodes of high Olympus, Jove convened the gods, the assembly thus the sire supreme addressed, Aegis just fate revolving in his breast, whom young Orestes to the dreary coast of Pluto sent, a blood-polluted ghost. Perverse mankind! Whose wills, created free, charge all their woes on absolute degree, all to the dooming gods their guilt translate, and follies are miscalled the crimes of fate. When to his lust Aegis just gave the rein, did fate, or we, the adulterous act constrain? Did fate, or we, when great Atreides died, urge the bold traitor to the regicide? Hermes I sent, while yet his soul remained sincere from royal blood, and faith profaned, to warn the wretch, that young Orestes, grown to manly years, should reassert the throne. Yet, impotent of mind, and uncontrolled, he plunged into the gulf which heaven foretold. Here paused the god, and pensive thus replies Minerva, graceful with her azure eyes. O thou! From whom the whole creation springs, the source of power on earth derived to kings. His death was equal to the direful deed, so may the man of blood be doomed to bleed. But grief and rage alternate wound my breast for brave Ulysses, still by fate oppressed. Amidst an isle, around whose rocky shore the forests murmur, and the surges roar, the blameless hero from his wished for home a goddess guards in her enchanted dome, Atlas her sire, to whose far-piercing eye the wonders of the deep expanded lie, the eternal columns which on earth he rears end in the starry vault, and prop the spheres. By his fair daughter is the chief confined, who soothes to dear delight his anxious mind, successless all her soft caresses prove, to banish from his breast his country's love, to see the smoke from his loved palace rise, while the dear isle in distant prospect lies, with what contentment could he close his eyes? And will omnipotence neglect to save the suffering virtue of the wise and brave? Must he, whose altars on the Phrygian shore with frequent rites, and pure, avow thy power, be doomed the worst of human ills to prove, unblessed, abandoned to the wrath of Jove? Daughter! What words have passed thy lips unweighed? Replied the thunderer to the martial maid, deem not unjustly by my doom oppressed, of human race the wisest and the best. Neptune, by prayer repentant rarely won, afflicts the chief, to avenge his giant son, whose visual orb Ulysses robbed of light, great Polypheme, of more than mortal might. Him young Thousa bore, the bright increase of forces, dreaded in the sounds and seas, whom Neptune eyed with bloom of beauty blessed, and in his cave the yielding nymph compressed for this the god constrains the Greek to roam, a hopeless exile from his native home, from death alone exempt but cease to mourn, let all combine to achieve his wished return, Neptune atoned, his wrath shall now refrain, or thwart the synod of the gods in vain. Father and king adored. Minerva cried, since all who in the Olympian bower reside now make the wandering Greek their public care, let Hermes to the Atlantic isle repair, bid him, arrived in bright Calypso's court, the sanction of the assembled powers report, that wise Ulysses to his native land must speed, obedient to their high command. Meantime Telemachus, the blooming heir of seagirt Ithaca, demands my care, 'tis mine to form his green, unpracticed years in sage debates, surrounded with his peers, to save the state, and timely to restrain the bold intrusion of the suitor train, who crowd his palace, and with lawless power his herds and flocks in feastful rites devour. To distant Sparta, and the spacious waste of sandy pile, the royal youth shall haste. There, warm with filial love, the causing choir that from his realm retards his godlike sire, delivering early to the voice of fame the promise of a green immortal name. She said, the sandals of celestial mold, fleck with ambrosial plumes, and rich with gold, surround her feet, with these sublime she sails the aerial space, and mounts the winged gales, o'er earth and ocean wide prepared to soar, her dreaded arm a beamy javelin bore, ponderous and vast, which, when her fury burns, proud tyrants humbles, and whole hosts so o'erturns. From high Olympus prone her flight she bends, and in the realms of Ithaca descends, her lineaments divine, the grave disguise of Meta's form concealed from human eyes, Mentis, the monarch of the Taphian land, a glittering spear waved awful in her hand. There in the portal placed, the heaven-born maid enormous ride and misrule surveyed. On hides of beeves, before the palace gate, sad spoils of luxury, the suitors sate. With rival art, and ardor in their mien, at chess they vie, to captivate the queen, divining of their loves. Attending nigh, a menial train the flowing bowl supply. Others, apart, the spacious hall prepare, and form the costly feast with busy care. Their young Telemachus, his bloomy face glowing celestial sweet, with godlike grace amid the circle shines, but hope and fear, painful vicissitude, his bosom tear. Now, imaged in his mind, he sees restored in peace and joy the people's rightful lord, the proud oppressors fly the vengeful sword. While his fond soul these fancied triumphs swelled, the stranger guest the royal youth beheld, grieved that a visitant so long should wait unmarked, unhonored, at a monarch's gate, instant he flew with hospitable haste, and the new friend with courteous air embraced. Stranger, whoe'er thou art, securely rest, affianced in my faith, a ready guest, approach the dome, the social banquet share, and then the purpose of thy soul declare. Thus affable and mild, the prince proceeds, and to the dome the unknown celestial leads. The spear receiving from the hand, he placed against a column, fair with sculpture graced, where seemly ranged in peaceful order stood Ulysses' arms now long disused to blood. He led the goddess to the sovereign seat, her feet supported with a stool of state. A purple carpet spread the pavement wide, then drew his seat, familiar, to her side, far from the suitor train, a brutal crowd, with insolence, and wine, allayed and loud, where the free guest, unnoted, might relate, if haply conscious, of his father's fate. The golden ewer made obsequious springs, replenished from the cool, translucent springs, with copious water the bright vase supplies a silver laver of capacious size, they wash. The tables in fair order spread. They heap the glittering canisters with bread, viands of various kinds allure the taste, of choicest sort and savor, rich repast. Delicious wines the attending herald brought, the gold gave luster to the purple draught. Lured with the vapor of the fragrant feast, in rushed the suitors with voracious haste, marshaled in order due, to each a sewer presence, to bathe his hands, a radiant ewer. Luxurious then they feast. Observant round gay stripling youths the brimming goblets crowned. The rage of hunger quelled. They all advance and form to measured airs the mazy dance, to Phemius was consigned the corded lyre, whose hand reluctant touched the warbling wire, Phemius, whose voice divine could sweetest sing high strains responsive to the vocal string. Meanwhile, in whispers to his heavenly guest his indignation thus the prince expressed. Indulge my rising grief, whilst these, my friend, with song and dance the pompous revel end. Light is the dance, and doubly sweet the lays, when for the dear delight another pays. His treasured stores those cormorants consume, whose bones, defrauded of a regal tomb and common turf, lie naked on the plain, or doomed to welter in the whelming main. Should he return, that troop so blithe and bold, with purple robes inwrought, and stiff with gold, precipitant in fear would wing their flight, and curse their cumbrous pride's unwieldy weight. But I dream. The appointed hour is fled. And hope, too long with vain delusion fed, deaf to the rumor of fallacious fame, gives to the role of death his glorious name. With venial freedom let me now demand thy name, thy lineage, and paternal land, sincere from whence began thy course, recite, and to what ship I owe the friendly freight? Now first to me this visit dost thou deign, or numbered in my father's social train? All who deserved his choice he made his own, and, curious much to know, he far was known. My birth I boast, the blue-eyed virgin cries, from great Anchilus, renowned and wise, Mentus my name, I rule the Taphian race, whose bounds the deep circumfluent waves embrace, a duteous people, and industrious isle, to naval arts inured, and stormy toil. Freighted with iron from my native land, I steer my voyage to the Brutian strand to gain by commerce, for the labored mass, a just proportion of refulgent brass. Far from your capital my ship resides at Rhetoris, and secure at anchor rides, where waving groves on Arinane grow, supremely tall and shade the deeps below. Thence to revisit your imperial dome, an old hereditary guest I come, your father's friend. Laertes can relate our faith unspotted, and its early date, who, pressed with heart-corroding grief and years, to the gay court of rural shepherds, where, soul of all his train, a matron sage supports with homely fond his drooping age, with feeble steps from marshalling his vines returning sad, when toilsome day declines. With friendly speed, induced by erring fame, to hail Ulysses' safe return I came, but still the frown of some celestial power with envious joy retards the blissful hour. Let not your soul be sunk in sad despair, he lives, he breathes this heavenly vital air, among a savage race, whose shelfy bounds with ceaseless roar the foaming deep surrounds. The thoughts which roll within my ravished breast, to me, no seer, the inspiring gods suggest, nor skilled nor studious, with prophetic eye to judge the winged omens of the sky. Yet hear this certain speech, nor deem it vain, though adamantine bonds the chief restrain, the dire restraint his wisdom will defeat, and soon restore him to his regal seat. But generous youth, sincere and free declare, are you, of manly growth, his royal heir? For sure Ulysses in your look appears, the same his features, if the same his years. Such was that face, on which I dwelt with joy ere Greece assembled stem the tides to Troy, but, parting then for that detested shore, our eyes, unhappy never greeted more. To prove a genuine birth, the prince replies, on female truth ascending faith relies. Thus manifest of right, I build my claim sure founded on a fair maternal fame, Ulysses' son, but happier he, whom fate hath placed beneath the storms which toss the great. Happier the son, whose hoary sire is blessed with humble affluence, and domestic rest. Happier than I, to future empire born, but doomed a father's wretched fate to mourn. To whom, with aspect mild, the guest divine, O true descendant of a sceptered line, the gods a glorious fate from anguish free to chaste Penelope's increase decree. But say, yon jovial troop so gaily dressed, is this a bridal or a friendly feast? Or from their deed I ridelier may divine, unseemly flown with insolence and wine? Unwelcome revelers, whose lawless joy pains the sage ear, and hurts the sober eye. Magnificence of old, the prince replied, beneath our roof with virtue could reside, unblamed abundance crowned the royal board, what time this dome revered her prudent lord, who now, so heaven decrees, is doomed to mourn, bitter constrained, erroneous and forlorn. Better the chief, on Ilion's hostile plain, had fallen surrounded with his warlike train, or safe returned, the race of glory passed, new to his friend's embrace, and breathed his last. Then grateful Greece with streaming eyes would raise, historic marbles to record his praise, eternal on the faithful stone, had with transmissive honor graced his son. Now snatched by harpies to the dreary coast. Sunk is the hero, and his glory lost, vanished at once. Unheard of, and unknown. And I his heir in misery alone. Nor for a dear lost father only flow the filial tears, but woe succeeds to woe to tempt the spouseless queen with amorous wiles resort the nobles from the neighboring isles, from Samos, circled with the Ionian main, Delicium, and Zacynth's sylvan reign, even with presumptuous hope her bed to ascend, the lords of Ithaca their right pretend. She seems attentive to their pleaded vows, her heart detesting what her ear allows. They, vain expectants of the bridal hour, my stores in riotous expense devour. In feast and dance the mirthful months employ, and meditate my doom to crown their joy. With tender pity touched, the goddess cried, soon may kind heaven a sure relief provide, soon may your sire discharge the vengeance due, and all your wrongs the proud oppressors rue. Oh! In that portal should the chief appear, each hand tremendous with a brazen spear, in radiant panoply his limbs encased, for so of old my father's court he graced, When social mirth unbent his serious soul, or the full banquet, and the sprightly bull, he then from Ephyr, the fair domain of Ilus, sprung from Jason's royal strain, measured a length of seas, a toilsome length, in vain. For, voyaging to learn the direful art to taint with deadly drugs the barbed art, observant of the gods, and sternly just, Ilus refused to impart the baneful trust, with friendlier zeal my father's soul was fired, the drugs he knew, and gave the boon desired. Appeared he now with such heroic port, as then conspicuous at the Taphian court, soon should you boasters cease their haughty strife, or each atone his guilty love with life. But if his wished return the care resign, be future vengeance to the powers divine. My sentence here, with stern distaste avowed, to their own district strive the suitor crowd, when next the morning warms the purple east, convoke the peerage, and the gods attest, the sorrows of your inmost soul relate, and form sure plans to save the sinking state. Should second love a pleasing flame inspire, and the chaste queen connubial rites require, dismissed with honor, let her hence repair to great Icarius, whose paternal care will guide her passion, and reward her choice with wealthy dower, and bridal gifts of price. Then let this dictate of my love prevail, instant, to foreign realms prepare to sail, to learn your father's fortunes, fame may prove, or Roman voice, the messenger of Jove, propitious to the search. Direct your toil through the wide ocean first to sandy pile, of Nestor, hoary sage, his doom demand, thence speed your voyage to the Spartan strand, for young Atreides to the Achaean coast arrive the last of all the victor host. If yet Ulysses views the light, forbear, till the fleet hours restore the circling year. But if his soul hath winged the destined flight, inhabitant of deep disastrous night, homeward with pious speed repass the main, to the pale shade funereal rites ordain, plant the fair column or the vacant grave, a hero's honors let the hero have. With decent grief the royal dead deplored, for the chaste queen select an equal lord. Then let revenge your daring mind employ, by fraud or force the suitor train destroy, and starting into manhood, scorn the boy. Hast thou not heard how young Orestes, fired with great revenge, immortal praise acquired? His virgin sword Aegisthus' veins imbrued, the murderer fell, and blood atoned for blood. O greatly blessed with every blooming grace! With equal steps the paths of glory trace, join to that royal youth's your rival name, and shine eternal in the sphere of fame. But my associates now my stay deplore, impatient on the horse resounding shore. Thou, heedful of advice, secure proceed, my praise the precept is, be thine the deed. The counsel of my friend, the youth rejoined, imprints conviction on my grateful mind. So fathers speak, persuasive speech and mild, their sage experience to the favorite child. But, since to part, for sweet refection due, the genial viands let my train renew, and the rich pledge of plighted faith receive, worthy the heir of Ithaca to give. Defer the promised boon, the goddess cries, celestial azure brightening in her eyes, and let me now regain the Rhaetrian port, from Temis returned, your royal court I shall revisit, and that pledge receive, and gifts, memorial of our friendship, leave. Abrupt, with eagle speech he cut the sky, instant invisible to mortal eye. Then first he recognized the ethereal guest, wonder and joy alternate fire his breast, heroic thoughts, infused, his heart dilate, revolving much his father's doubtful fate. At length, composed, he joined the suitor throng, hushed in attention to the warbled song. His tender theme the charming lyres chose. Minerva's anger, and the dreadful woes which voyaging from Troy the victors bore, while storms vindictive intercept the store. The shrilling airs the vaulted roof rebounds, reflecting to the queen the silver sounds. With grief renewed the weeping fair descends, their sovereign step a virgin train attends, a veil, of richest texture wrought, she wears, and silent to the joyous hall repairs. There from the portal, with her mild command, thus gently checks the minstrel's tuneful hand. Phemius. Let acts of gods, and heroes old, what ancient bards in hall and bower have told, attempered to the lyre, your voice employ, such the pleased ear will drink with silent joy. But, oh! Forbear the dear disastrous name, to sorrow sacred, and secure of fame, my bleeding bosom sickens at the sound, and every piercing note inflicts a wound. Why, dearest object of my duteous love, replied the prince, will you the bard reprove? Oft, Jove's ethereal rays, resistless fire, the chanter's soul in raptured song inspire instinct divine? Nor blame severe his choice, warbling the Grecian woes with heart and voice, for novel lays attract our ravished ears, but old, the mind with inattention hears, patient permit the sadly pleasing strain, familiar now with grief, your tears refrain, and in the public woe forget your own, you weep not for a perished lord alone. What Greeks knew wondering in the Stygian gloom, Wish her Ulysses shared an equal doom. Your widowed hours, apart, with female toil and various labors of the loom beguile, their rule, from palace cares remote and free, that care to man belongs, and most to me. Mature beyond his years, the queen admires his sage reply, and with her train retires. Then swelling sorrows burst their former bounds, with echoing grief afresh the dome resounds, till Pallas, piteous of her plaintive cries, in slumber closed her silver streaming eyes. Meantime, rekindled at the royal charms, tumultuous love each beating bosom warms, in temperate rage a wordy war began, but bold Telemachus assumed the man. Instant, he cried, "Your female discord end, ye deedless boasters! And the song attend, obey that sweet compulsion, nor profane with dissonance the smooth melodious strain. Pacific now prolong the jovial feast, but when the dawn reveals the rosy east, I, to the peers assembled, shall propose the firm resolve, I here in few disclose, no longer live the cankers of my court, all to your several states with speed resort, waste in wild riot what your land allows, there ply the early feast, and late carouse. But if, to honor lost, 'tis still decreed for you my bull shall flow, my flock shall bleed, judge and revenge my right, impartial Jove. By him and all the immortal thrones above, a sacred oath, each proud oppressor slain, shall with inglorious gore this marble stain." Awed by the prince, thus haughty, bold, and young, rage gnawed the lip, and wonder chained the tongue. Silence at length the gay Antinous broke, constrained a smile, and thus ambiguous spoke, "What god to your untutored youth affords this headlong torrent of amazing words? May Jove delay thy reign, and cumber late so bright a genius with the toils of state." "Those toils," Telemachus serene replies, "have charms, with all their weight, to lure the wise. Fast by the throne obsequious fame resides, and wealth incessant rolls her golden tides. Nor let Antinous rage, if strong desire of wealth and fame a youthful bosom fire, elect by Jove, his delegate of sway, with joyous pride the summons I'd obey. Whene'er Ulysses roams the realm of night, should factious power dispute my lineal right, some other Greeks a fairer claim may plead, to your pretense their title would proceed. At least, the scepter lost, I still should reign sole o'er my vassals, and domestic train." To this Eurymachus, "To heaven alone refer the choice to fill the vacant throne. Your patrimonial stores and peace possess, undoubted, all your filial claim confess, your private right should impious power invade, the peers of Ithaca would arm and aid. But say, that stranger guest who late withdrew, what and from whence? His name and lineage show. His grave demeanor and majestic grace speak him descended of no vulgar race, did he some loan of ancient right require, or came forerunner of your sceptered sire?" "O son of Polybus," the prince replies, "no more my sire will glad these longing eyes, the queen's fond hope inventive rumor cheers, or vain diviner's dreams divert her fears. That stranger guest the Taphian realm obeys, a realm defended with encircling seas. Mentis, an ever-honored name, of old high in Ulysses' social list enrolled." Thus he, though conscious of the ethereal guest, answered evasive of the sly request. Meantime the lyre rejoins the sprightly lay, love ditty dares, and dance, conclude the day but when the star of eve with golden light adorned the matron brow of sable night, the mirthful train dispersing quit the court, and to their several domes to rest resort. A towering structure to the palace joined, to this his steps the thoughtful prince inclined, in his pavilion there, to sleep repairs, the lighted torch, the sage Eurycleia bears, daughter of Ops, the just peace in your son, for 20 beeves by great Laertes won, in rosy prime with charms attractive graced, honored by him, a gentle lord and chaste, with dearest team, too wise, with jealous strife to taint the joys of sweet connubial life. Sole with Telemachus her service ends, a child she nursed him, and a man attends. Whilst to his couch himself the prince addressed, the duteous dame received the purple vest with decent care disposed, the silver ring she pulled, the door reclosed, the bolt, obedient to the silken cord, to the strong staple's inmost depth restored, secure the valves. There, wrapped in silent shade, pensive, the rules the goddess gave he weighed, stretched on the downy fleece, no rest he knows, and in his raptured soul the vision glows. Book 2. Argument. The Council of Ithaca. Telemachus in the assembly of the lords of Ithaca complains of the injustice done him by the suitors, and insists upon their departure from his palace, appealing to the princes, and exciting the people to declare against them. The suitors endeavor to justify their stay, at least till he shall send the queen to the court of Icarius her father, which he refuses. There appears a prodigy of two eagles in the sky, which an augur expounds to the ruin of the suitors. Telemachus then demands a vessel to carry him to Pylos in Sparta, there to inquire of his father's fortunes. Pallas, in the shape of Mentor, an ancient friend of Ulysses, helps him to a ship, assists him in preparing necessaries for the voyage, and embarks with him that night, which concludes the second day from the opening of the poem. The scene continues in the palace of Ulysses, in Ithaca. Now reddening from the dawn, the morning ray glowed in the front of heaven, and gave the day the youthful hero, with returning light, rose anxious from the inquietudes of night. A royal robe he wore with graceful pride, a two-edged falchion threatened by his side, embroidered sandals glittered as he trod, and forth he moved, majestic as a god. Then by his heralds, restless of delay, to council calls the peers obey. Soon as in solemn form the assembly sate, from his high dome himself descends in state. Bright in his hand a ponderous javelin shined, two dogs, a faithful guard, attend behind, Pallas with grace divine his form improves, and gazing crowds admire him as he moves. His father's throne he filled, while distant stood the hoary peers, and aged wisdom bowed. 'Twas silence all. At last Aegyptius spoke, Aegyptius, by his age and sorrow broke, a length of days his soul with prudence crowned, a length of days had bent him to the ground. His eldest hope in arms to Ilion came, by great Ulysses taught the path to fame, but, hapless youth, the hideous Cyclops tore his quivering limbs, and quaffed his spouting gore. Three sons remained, to climb with haughty fires the royal bed, Eurynomus aspires, the rest with duteous love his griefs assuage, and ease the sire of half the cares of age. Yet still his Antiphus he loves, he mourns, and, as he stood, he spoke and wept by turns. Since great Ulysses sought the Phrygian plains, within these walls in glorious silence reigns. Say then, ye peers, by whose commands we meet? Why here once more in solemn council sit? Ye young, ye old, the weighty cause disclose, arrive some message of invading foes? Or say, does high necessity of state inspire some patriot, and demand debate? The present synod speaks its author wise, assist him, Jove, thou regent of the skies. He spoke. Telemachus with transport glows, embraced the omen, and majestic rose, his royal hand the imperial scepter swayed, then thus, addressing to Aegyptius, said. Reverend old man. Lo here confessed he stands by whom ye meet, my grief your care demands. No story I unfold of public woes, nor bear advices of impending foes, peace the blessed land, and joy's incessant crown, of all this happy realm, I grieve alone. For my lost sire continual sorrows spring, the great, the good, your father and your king. Yet more, our house from its foundation bows, our foes are powerful, and your sons the foes, hither, unwelcome to the queen, they come, why seek they not the rich Icarian dome? If she must wed, from other hands require the dowry, is Telemachus her sire? Yet through my court the noise of revel rings, and waste the wise frugality of kings. Scarce all my herds their luxury suffice, scarce all my wine their midnight hour supplies. Safe in my youth, in riot still they grow, nor in the helpless orphan dread a foe. But come it will, the time when manhood grants more powerful advocates than vain complaints. Approach that hour. Insufferable wrong cries to the gods, and vengeance sleeps too long. Rise then, ye peers. With virtuous anger rise, your fame revere, but most the avenging skies. By all the deathless powers that reign above, by righteous Themis and by thundering Jove, Themis, who gives to counsels, or denies success, and humbles, or confirms the wise, rise in my aid. Suffice the tears that flow for my lost sire, nor add new woe to woe. If e'er he bore the sword to strengthen ill, or, having power to wrong, betrayed the will, on me your kindled wrath assuage, and bid the voice of lawless riot rage. If ruin to your royal race ye doom, be you the spoilers, and our wealth consume. Then might we hope redress from juster laws, and raise all Ithaca to aid our cause. But while your sons commit the unpunished wrong, you make the arm of violence too strong. While thus he spoke, with rage and grief he frowned, and dashed the imperial scepter to the ground. The big round tear hung trembling in his eye, the synod grieved, and gave a pitying sigh, then silence sate at length Antinous burns with haughty rage, and sternly thus returns. O insolence of youth! Whose tongue affords such railing eloquence, and war of words! Studious thy country's worthies to defame, thy ring voice displays thy mother's shame. Elusive of the bridal day, she gives fond hopes to all, and all with hopes deceives. Did not the sun, through heaven's wide azure rolled, for 3 long years the royal fraud behold? While she, laborious in delusion, spread the spacious loom, and mix the various thread, whereas to life the wondrous figures rise, thus spoke the inventive queen, with artful sighs. Though cold in death Ulysses breathes no more, cease yet a while to urge the bridal hour, cease, till to great Laertes I bequeath a task of grief, his ornaments of death. Lest when the fates his royal ashes claim, the Grecian matrons taint my spotless fame, when he, whom living mighty realms obeyed, shall want in death a shroud to grace his shade. Thus she, at once the generous strain complies, nor fraud mistrusts in virtue's fair disguise. The work she plied, but, studious of delay, by night reversed the labors of the day. While thrice the sun his annual journey made, the conscious lamp the midnight fraud surveyed, unheard, unseen, 3 years her arts prevail, the fourth her mate unfolds the amazing tale. We saw, as unperceived we took our stand, the backward labors of her faithless hand. Then urged, she perfects her illustrious toils, a wondrous monument of female wiles. But you, O peers! And thou, O prince! Give ear, I speak aloud, that every Greek may hear, dismiss the queen, and if her sire proves let him espouse her to the peer she loves, bid instant to prepare the bridal train, nor let a race of princes weigh it in vain. Though with a grace divine her soul is blessed, and all Minerva breathes within her breast, in wondrous arts than woman more renowned, and more than woman with deep wisdom crowned, though Tyro nor Mycenae match her name, not great Alemana, the proud boasts of fame, yet thus by heaven adorned, by heaven's decree she shines with fatal excellence, to thee, with thee, the bowl we drain, indulge the feast, till righteous heaven reclaim her stubborn breast. What though from pole to pole resounds her name? The son's destruction waits the mother's fame, for, till she leaves thy court, it is decreed, thy bowl to empty and thy flock to bleed. While yet he speaks, Telemachus replies, even nature starts, and what ye ask denies. Thus, shall I thus repay a mother's cares, who gave me life, and nursed my infant years. While sad on foreign shores Ulysses treads, or glides a ghost with unapparent shades, how to Icarius in the bridal hour shall I, by waste undone, refund the dower? How from my father should I vengeance dread? How would my mother curse my hated head? And while in wrath to vengeful fiends she cries, how from their hell would vengeful fiends arise? Abhorred by all, accursed my name would grow, the earth's disgrace, and humankind my foe. If this displease, why urge ye here your stay? Haste from the court, ye spoilers, haste away, waste in wild riot what your land allows, there ply the early feast, and late carouse. But if to honor lost, 'tis still decreed for you my bull shall flow, my flocks shall bleed, judge, and assert my right, impartial Jove. By him, and all the immortal host above, a sacred oath, if heaven the power supply, vengeance I vow, and for your wrongs ye die. With that, two eagles from a mountain's height by Jove's command direct their rapid flight, swift they descend, with wing to wing conjoined, stretch their broad plumes, and float upon the wind. Above the assembled peers they wheel on high, and clang their wings, and hovering beat the sky, with ardent eyes the rival train they threat, and shrieking loud denounce approaching fate. They cuff, they tear, their cheeks and neck they rend, and from their plumes huge drops of blood descend, then sailing o'er the domes and towers, they fly, full toward the east, and mount into the sky. The wondering rivals gaze, with cares oppressed, and chilling horrors freeze in every breast, till big with knowledge of approaching woes, the prince of augurs, Halitherses, rose, prescient he viewed the aerial tracks, and drew a sure presage from every wing that flew. Ye sons, he cried, of Ithaca, give ear, hear all. But chiefly you, O rivals. Hear. Destruction sure o'er all your heads impends Ulysses comes, and death his steps attends. Nor to the great alone is death decreed, we and our guilty Ithaca must bleed. Why cease we then the wrath of heaven to stay? Be humbled all, and lead, ye great, the way. For lo my words no fancied woes relate, I speak from science and the voice of fate. When great Ulysses sought the Phrygian shores to shake with war-proud Ilion's lofty towers, deeds that undone my faithful tongue foretold, heaven sealed my words, and you those deeds behold. I see, I cried, his woes, a countless train, I see his friends overwhelmed beneath the main, how twice 10 years from shore to shore he roams, now twice 10 years are past, and now he comes. To whom Eurymachus fly, dotard fly, with thy wise dreams, and fables of the sky. Go prophesy at home, thy sons advise, here thou art sage in vain I better read the skies unnumbered birds glide through the aerial way, vagrants of air, and unforeboding stray. Cold in the tomb, or in the deeps below, Ulysses lies, O wert thou laid as low. Then would that busy head no broils suggest, for fire to rage Telemachus' breast, from whom some bribe thy venal tongue requires, and interest, not the god, thy voice inspires. His guideless youth, if thy experienced age mislead fallacious into idle rage, vengeance deserved thy malice shall repress. And but augment the wrongs thou wouldst redress, Telemachus may bid the queen repair to great Icarius, whose paternal care will guide her passion, and reward her choice with wealthy dower, and bridal gifts of price. Till she retires, determined we remain, and both the prince and augur threat in vain, his pride of words, and thy wild dream of fate, move not the brave, or only move their hate. Threat on, O prince! Elude the bridal day. Threat on, till all thy stores in waste decay. True, Greece affords a train of lovely dames, in wealth and beauty worthy of our flames, but never from this nobler suit we cease, for wealth and beauty less than virtue please. To whom the youth, since then in vain I tell my numerous woes, in silence let them dwell. But heaven, and all the Greeks, have heard my wrongs, to heaven, and all the Greeks, redress belongs, yet this I ask, nor be it asked in vain, a bark to waft me o'er the rolling main, the realms of Pyle and Sparta to explore, and seek my royal sire from shore to shore, if, or to fame his doubtful fate be known, or to be learned from oracles alone, if yet he lives, with patience I forbear, till the fleet hours restore the circling year, but if already wandering in the train of empty shades, I measure back the main, plant the fair column o'er the mighty dead, and yield his consort to the nuptial bed. He ceased, and while abashed the peers attend, Mentor arose, Ulysses' faithful friend, when fierce in arms he sought the scenes of war, my friend, he cried, my palace be thy care, years rolled on years my godlike sire decay, guard thou his age, and his behests obey. Stern as he rose, he cast his eyes around, that flashed with rage, and as spoke, he frowned. Oh never, never more let king be just, be mild in power, or faithful to his trust. Let tyrants govern with an iron rod, oppress, destroy, and be the scourge of God, since he who like a father held his reign, so soon forgot, was just and mild in vain. True, while my friend is grieved, his griefs I share, yet now the rivals are my smallest care, they for the mighty mischiefs they devise, ere long shall pay their forfeit lives the price. But against you, ye Greeks, ye coward train, gods, how my soul is moved with just disdain. Dumb ye all stand, and not one tongue affords his injured prince the little aid of words. While yet he spoke, Leocritus rejoined, O pride of words, and arrogance of mind! Wouldst thou to rise in arms the Greeks advise? Join all your powers? In arms, ye Greeks, arise! Yet would your powers in vain our strength oppose? The valiant few o'ermatch a host of foes. Should great Ulysses stern appear in arms, while the bull circles and the banquet warms, though to his breast his spouse with transport flies, torn from her breast, that hour, Ulysses dies. But hence retreating to your domes repair. To arm the vessel, Mentor. Be thy care, and Halitherses. Thine, be each his friend, ye love the father, go, the son attend. But yet, I trust, the boaster means to stay safe in the court, nor tempt the watery way. Then, with a rushing sound the assembly bend diverse their steps, the rival rout ascend the royal dome, while sad the prince explores the neighboring main, and sorrowing treads the shores. There, as the waters o'er his hands he shed, the royal suppliant to Minerva prayed. O goddess! Who descending from the skies vouchsafed thy presence to my wondering eyes, by whose commands the raging deeps I trace, and seek my sire through storms and rolling seas. Hear from thy heavens above, O warrior maid! Descend once more, propitious to my aid. Without thy presence, vain is thy command, Greece, and the rival train, thy voice withstand. Indulgent to his prayer, the goddess took sage Mentor's form, and thus like Mentor spoke. O prince, in early youth divinely wise, born, the Ulysses of thy age to rise if to the sun the father's worth descends, o'er the wide way of success thy ways attends to tread the walks of death he stood prepared, and what he greatly thought, he nobly dared. Were not wise sons descendant of the wise, and did not heroes from brave heroes rise, vain were my hopes, few sons attain the praise of their great sires, and most their sires disgrace. But since thy veins paternal virtue fires, and all Penelope thy soul inspires, go, and succeed, the rival's aims despise, for never, never wicked man was wise. Blind they rejoice, though now, even now they fall, death hastes amain, one hour o'erwhelms them all. And lo, with speed we plough the watery way, my power shall guard thee, and my hand convey, the winged vessel studious I prepare, through seas and realms companion of thy care. Thou to the court ascend, and to the shores, when night advances, Bear the navel stores, bread, that decaying man with strength supplies, and generous wine, which thoughtful sorrow flies. Meanwhile the mariners, by my command, shall speed aboard, a valiant chosen band. Wide o'er the bay, by vessel rides, the best I choose to waft then o'er the tides. She spoke, to his high dome the prince returns, and, as he moves, with royal anguish mourns. 'Twas right all, among the lawless train, boar bled by boar, and goat by goat lay slain. Arrived, his hand the gay Antinous pressed, and thus deriding, with a smile at rest. Grieve not, O daring prince! That noble heart, ill suits gay youth the stern heroic part. Indulge the genial hour, unbend thy soul, leave thought to age, and drain the flowing bowl. Studious to ease thy grief, our care provides the bark, to waft thee o'er the swelling tides. Is this, returns the prince, for mirth a time? When lawless gluttons riot, mirth's a crime, the luscious wines, dishonored, lose their taste, the song is noise, and impious is the feast. Suffice it to have spent with swift decay the wealth of kings, and made my youth a prey. But now the wise instructions of the sage, and manly thoughts inspired by manly age, teach me to seek redress for all my woe, here, or in pile, or here, your foe. Deny your vessels, ye deny in vain, a private voyager I pass the main. Free breathe the winds, and free the billows flow, and where on earth I live your foe. He spoke and frowned, nor longer deigned to stay, sternly his hand withdrew, and strode away. Meantime, o'er all the dome, they quaff, they feast, derisive taunts were spread from guest to guest, and each in jovial mood his mate addressed. Tremble ye not, O friends, and coward fly, doomed by the stern Telemachus to die? To Pyle or Sparta to demand supplies, big with revenge, the mighty warrior flies, or comes from Ephor with poisons fraught, and kills us all in one tremendous draught. Or who can say, his gamesome mate replies, but, while the danger of the deep sea tries he, like his sire, may sink deprived of breath, and punish us unkindly by his death. What mighty labors would he then create, to seize his treasures, and divide his state, the royal palace to the queen convey, or him she blesses in the bridal day. Meantime the lofty rooms the prince surveys, where lay the treasures of the Ithacian race, here ruddy brass and gold refulgent blazed, their polished chests embroidered vestures graced, here jars of oil breathed forth a rich perfume, their casks of wine and rose adorn the dome, pure flavorous wine, by gods in bounty given and worthy to exalt the feasts of heaven. Untouched they stood, till, his long labors o'er, the great Ulysses reached his native shore. A double strength of bars secured the gates, fast by the door the wise Euryclea waits, Euryclea, who great ops, thy lineage shared, and watched all night, all day, a faithful guard. To whom the prince, O thou whose guardian care nursed the most wretched king that breathes the air, untouched and sacred may these vessels stand, till great Ulysses views his native land. But by thy care 12 urns of wine be filled, next these in worth, and firm these urns be sealed, and twice 10 measures of the choicest flower prepared, or yet descends the evening hour. For when the favoring shades of night arise, and peaceful slumbers close my mother's eyes, me from our coast shall spreading sails convey, to seek Ulysses through the watery way. While yet he spoke, she filled the walls with cries, and tears ran trickling from her aged eyes. O whither flies my son, she cried, to realms, that rocks and roaring seas divide. In foreign the lands thy father's days decayed, and foreign lands contain the mighty dead. The watery way ill-fated if thou try, all must perish, and by fraud you die. Then stay, my child. Storms beat, and rolls the main. Oh, beat those storms, and roll the seas in vain. Far hence, replied the prince, thy fears be driven, heaven calls me forth, these counsels are of heaven. But, by the powers that hate the perjured, swear, to keep my voyage from the royal ear, nor uncompelled the dangerous truth betray, till twice 6 times descends the lamp of day, lest the sad tale a mother's life impair, and grief destroy what time a while would spare. Thus he, the matron with uplifted eyes attests the all-seeing sovereign of the skies. Then studious she prepares the choicest flower, the strength of wheat and wine's an ample store. While to the rival train the prince returns, the martial goddess with impatience burns, like thee, Telemachus, in voice and sighs, with speed divine from street to street she flies, she bids the mariners prepared to stand, when night descends, embodied on the strand. Then to Noemon swift she runs, she flies, and asks a bark, the chief a bark supplies. And now, declining with his sloping wheels, Down sunk the sun behind the western hills. The goddess shoved the vessel from the shores, and stowed within its womb the naval stores, full in the openings of the spacious main it rides, and now descends the sailor train. Next, to the court, impatient of delay. With rapid step the goddess urged her way, there every eye with slumberous chain she bound, and dashed the flowing goblet to the ground. Drowsy they rose, with heavy fumes oppressed, reeled from the palace, and retired to rest. Then thus, in Mentor's reverent form arrayed, spoke to Telemachus the martial maid. Lo! On the seas, prepared the vessel stands, the impatient mariner thy speed demands. Swift as she spoke, with rapid pace she leads, the footsteps of the deity he treads. Swift to the shore they move along the strand, the ready vessel rides, the sailors ready stand. He bids them bring their stores, the attending train load the tall bark, and launch into the main. The prince and goddess to the stern ascend, to the strong stroke at once the rowers bend. Full from the west she bids fresh breezes blow, the sable billows foam and roar below. The chief his orders gives, the obedient band with due observance wait the chief's command, with speed the mast they rear, with speed unbind the spacious sheet, and stretch it to the wind. High o'er the roaring waves the spreading sails bow the tall mast, and swell before the gales, the crooked keel the parting surge divides, and to the stern retreating roll the tides. And now they ship their oars, and crown with wine the holy goblet to the powers divine, imploring all the gods that reign above, but chief the blue-eyed progeny of Jove. Thus all the night they stem the liquid way, and end their voyage with the morning ray. Book 3. Argument. The interview of Telemachus and Nestor. Telemachus, guided by Pallas in the shape of Mentor, arrives in the morning at Pylos, where Nestor and his sons are sacrificing on the seashore to Neptune. Telemachus declares the occasion of his coming, and Nestor relates what passed in their return from Troy, how their fleets were separated, and he never since heard of Ulysses. They discourse concerning the death of Agamemnon, the revenge of Orestes, and the injuries of the suitors. Nestor advises him to go to Sparta, and inquire further of Menelaus. The sacrifice ending with the night, Minerva vanishes from them in the form of an eagle. Telemachus is lodged in the palace. The next morning they sacrifice a bullock to Minerva, and Telemachus proceeds on his journey to Sparta, attended by Pisistratus. The scene lies on the seashore of Pylos. The sacred sun, above the waters raised, through heaven's eternal brazen portals blazed, and wide o'er earth diffused his cheering ray, to gods and men to give the golden day. Now on the coast of Pyle the vessel falls, before old Neleus' venerable walls. There suppliant to the monarch of the flood, at 9 green theatres the Pylians stood, each held 500, a deputed train, at each, 9 oxen on a sand lay slain. They taste the entrails, and the altars load with smoking thighs, an offering to the god. Full for the port the Ithacensians stand, and furl their sails, and issue on the land. Telemachus already pressed the shore, not first, the power of wisdom marched before, and ere the sacrificing throng he joined, admonished thus his well-attending mind. Proceed, my son. This youthful shame expel, an honest business never blush to tell. To learn what fates thy wretched sire detain, we pass the wide immeasurable main. Meet then the senior far renowned for sense with reverent awe, but decent confidence, urge him with truth to frame his fair replies, and sure he will, for wisdom never lies. Oh tell me, Mentor. Tell me, faithful guide, the youth with prudent modesty replied, how shall I meet, or how accost the sage, unskilled in speech, nor yet mature of age? Awful the approach, and hard the task appears, to question wisely men of riper years. To whom the martial goddess thus rejoined, search, for some thoughts, thy own suggesting mind, and others, dictated by heavenly power, shall rise spontaneous in the needful hour. For not unprosperous shall thy ways attend, born with good omens, and with heaven thy friend. She spoke, and led the way with swiftest speed, as swift, the youth pursued the way she led, and joined the band before the sacred fire, where sate, encompassed with his sons, the sire. The youth of Pylos, some on pointed wood transfixed the fragments, some prepared the food, in friendly throngs they gathered to embrace their unknown guests, and at the banquet place, Pisistratus was first to grasp their hands, and spread soft hides upon the yellow sands, along the shore the illustrious pair he led, where Nestor sate with the youthful Thrasymed, to each a portion of the feast he bore, and held the golden goblet foaming o'er, then first approaching to the elder guest, the latent goddess in these words addressed, who e'er thou art, from fortune brings to keep these rites of Neptune, monarch of the deep, the first it fits, O stranger, to prepare the due libation and the solemn prayer, then give thy friend to shed the sacred wine, though much thy younger, and his years like mine, He too, I deem, implores a power divine, for all mankind alike require their grace, all born to want, a miserable race. He spake, and to her hand preferred the bowl, a secret pleasure touched Athena's soul, to see the preference due to sacred age regarded ever by the just and sage. Of ocean's king she then implores the grace. O thou, whose arms this ample globe embrace, fulfill our wish, and let thy glory shine on Nestor first, and Nestor's royal line, next grant the Pylian states their just desires, pleased with their hecatomb's ascending fires, last, deign Telemachus and me to bless, and crown our voyage with desired success. Thus she, and having paid the rite divine, gave to Ulysses' son the rosy wine. Suppliant he prayed. And now the victim's dress they draw, divide, and celebrate the feast. The banquet done, the narrative old man, thus mild, the pleasing conference began. Now gentle guests, the genial banquet o'er, it fits to ask ye, what your native shore, and whence your race? On what adventure say, thus far you wander through the watery way? Relate if business, or the thirst of gain, engage your journey or the pathless main where savage pirates seek through seas unknown the lives of others, venturous of their own. Urged by the precepts by the goddess given, and filled with confidence infused from heaven, the youth, whom Pallas destined to be wise and famed among the sons of men, replies, inquirest thou, father, from what coast we came? O grace and glory of the Grecian name, from where high Ithaca o'erlooks the floods, brown with o'erarching shades and pendant woods us to these shores our filial duty draws, a private sorrow, not a public cause. My sire I seek, where'er the voice of fame has told the glories of his noble name, the great Ulysses, famed from shore to shore for valor much, for hardy suffering more. Long time with thee before proud Ilion's wall in arms he fought, with thee beheld her fall. Of all the chiefs, this hero's fate alone has Jove reserved, unheard of, and unknown, whether in fields by hostile fury slain, or sunk by tempests in the gulfy main? Of this to learn, oppressed with tender fears, lo, at thy knee his suppliant son appears. If or thy certain eye, or curious ear, have learned his fate, the whole dark story clear and, oh! Whate'er heaven destined to betide, let neither flattery soothe, nor pity hide. Prepared I stand, he was but born to try the lot of man, to suffer, and to die. Oh then, if ever through the 10 years war the wise, the good Ulysses claim thy care, if e'er he join thy counsel, or thy sword, true in his deed, and constant to his word, far as thy mind through backward time can see search all thy stores of faithful memory, 'tis sacred truth I ask, and ask of thee. To him experienced Nestor thus rejoined, O friend! What sorrows dost thou bring to mind? Shall I the long, laborious scene review, and open all the wounds of Greece anew? What toils by sea? Where dark in quest of prey dauntless we roved, Achilles led the way, what toils by land? Where mixed in fatal fight such numbers fell, such heroes sunk tonight, there Ajax great, Achilles there the brave, there wise Patroclus, fill an early grave, there, too, my Sona, once my best delight once swift of foot, and terrible in fight, in whom stern courage with soft virtue joined a faultless body and a blameless mind, Antilochus what more can I relate? How trace the tedious series of our fate? Not added years on years my task could close, the long historian of my country's woes, back to thy native islands mightst thou sail, and leave half heard the melancholy tale. 9 painful years on that detested shore, what stratagems we formed, what toils we bore. Still laboring on, till scarce at last we found great Jove propitious, and our conquest crowned. Far o'er the rest thy mighty father shined, in wit, in prudence, and in force of mind. Art thou the son of that illustrious sire? With joy I grasp thee, and with love admire. So like your voices, and your words so wise, who finds thee younger must consult his eyes. Thy sire and I were one, nor varied aught in public sentence, or in private thought, alike to council or the assembly came, with equal souls, and sentiments the same. But when, by wisdom won, proud Ilion burned, and in their ships the conquering Greeks returned, 'twas God's high will the victors to divide, and turn the event, confounding human pride, some be destroyed, some scattered as the dust, not all were prudent, and not all were just. Then discord, sent by Pallas from above, stern daughter of the great avenger Jove, the brother kings inspired with fell debate, who called to counsel all the Achaean state, but called untimely, not the sacred rite observed, nor heedful of the setting light, nor herald sore the session to proclaim, sour with debauch, a reeling tribe that came. To these the cause of meeting they explain, and Menelaus moves to cross the main, not so the king of men, be will to stay, the sacred rites and hecatombs to pay, and calm Minerva's wrath. O blind to fate! The gods not lightly change their love, or hate. With ireful taunts each other they oppose, till in loud tumult all the Greeks arose. Now different counsels every breast divide, each burns with rancor to the adverse side. The unquiet night strange projects entertained, so Jove, that urged us to our fate, ordained. We with the rising morn our ships unmoored, and brought our captives and our stores aboard, but half the people with respect obeyed the king of men, and at his bidding stayed. Now on the wings of winds our course we keep, for God had smoothed the waters of the deep, for Tenedos we spread our eager oars, their land, and pay due victims to the powers, to bless our safe return, we join in prayer, but angry Jove dispersed our vows in air, and raised new discord. Then, so heaven decreed, Ulysses first and neither disagreed. Wise as he was, by various counsels awayed, he there, though late, to please the monarch, stayed. But I, determined, stem the foamy floods, warned of the coming fury of the gods. With us, Tydides feared, and urged his haste, and Menelaus came, but came the last, he joined our vessels in the Lesbian bay, while yet we doubted of our watery way, if to the right to urge the pilot's toil, the safer road, beside the Syrian Isle, or the straight course to rocky Chios plough, and anchor under Mimas' shaggy brow? We sought direction of the power divine, the god propitious gave the guiding sign, through the mid-seas he bid our navy steer, and in Euboea shun the woes we fear. The whistling winds already waked the sky, before the whistling winds the vessels fly, with rapid swiftness cut the liquid way, and reached Aristus at the point of day. Their hecatombs of bulls, to Neptune slain, high-flaming pleased the monarch of the main. The fourth day shone, when all their labors o'er, Tydides' vessels touched the wished-for shore. But Idepylos scud before the gales, the gods still breathing on my swelling sails, separate from all, I safely landed here, their fates or fortunes never reached my ear. Yet what I learned, attend, as here I sat, and asked each voyager each hero's fate, curious to know, and willing to relate. Safe reached the Myrmidons their native land, beneath Achilles' warlike son's command. Those, whom the heir of great Apollo's art, brave Philoctetes, taught to wing the dart, and those whom Idomen from Ilion's plain had led, securely crossed the dreadful main how Agamemnon touched his Argive coast, and how his life by fraud and force he lost, and how the murderer, paid his forfeit breath, what lands so distant from that scene of death but trembling heard the fame, and heard, admire, how well the son appeased his slaughtered sire. Even to the unhappy, that unjustly bleed, heaven gives posterity, to avenge the deed. So fell Aegisthus, and mayest thou, my friend, on whom the virtues of thy sire descend, make future times thy equal act adore, and be what brave Orestes was before. The prudent youth replied, O thou the grace and lasting glory of the Grecian race! Just was the vengeance, and to latest days shall long posterity resound the praise. Some god this arm with equal prowess bless. And the proud suitors shall its force confess, injurious men. Who while my soul is sore of fresh affronts, are meditating more. But heaven denies this honor to my hand, nor shall my father repossess the land, the father's fortune never to return, and the sad sons to softer and to mourn. Thus he, and Nestor took the word, my son, is it then true, as distant rumors run, that crowds of rivals for thy mother's charms thy palace fill with insults and alarms? Say, is the fault, through tame submission, thine? Or leagued against thee, do thy people join, moved by some oracle, or voice divine? And yet who knows, but ripening lies in fate an hour of vengeance for the afflicted state, when great Ulysses shall suppress these harms, Ulysses singly, or all Greece in arms. But if Athena, war's triumphant maid, the happy son will as the father aid, whose fame and safety was her constant care in every danger and in every war, never on man did heavenly favor shine with rays so strong, distinguished and divine, as those with which Minerva marked thy sire, so might she love thee, so thy soul inspire. Soon should their hopes in humble dust be laid, and long oblivion of the bridal bed. Ah! No such hope, the prince with sighs replies, can touch my breast, that blessing heaven denies. Even by celestial favor were it given, fortune or fate would cross the will of heaven. What words are these, and what imprudence thine? Thus interposed the martial maid divine, forgetful youth. But know, the power above with ease can save each object of his love, wide is his will, extends his boundless grace, nor lost in time nor circumscribed by place. Happier his lot, who, many sorrows past, long laboring gains his natal shore at last, than who, too speedy, hastes to end his life by some stern ruffian, or adulterous wife. Death only is the lot which none can miss, And all is possible to heaven but this. The best, the dearest favorite of the sky, must taste that cup, for man is born to die. Thus checked, replied Ulysses' prudent heir, Mentor, no more if mournful thought forbear, for he no more must draw his country's breath, already snatched by fate, and the black doom of death. Pass we to other subjects, and engage on themes remote the venerable sage, who thrice has seen the perishable kind of men decay, and through three ages shine like gods majestic, and like gods in mind, for much he knows, and just conclusions draws, from various precedents, and various laws. O son of Neleus! Awful Nestor, tell how he, the mighty Agamemnon, fell, by what strange fraud Aegis just wrought, relate, by force he could not, such a hero's fate? Live Menelaus not in Greece? Or where was then the martial brother's pious care? Condemned perhaps some foreign shore to tread, or sure Aegis just had not dared the deed. To whom the full of days, illustrious youth, attend, though partly thou hast guessed, the truth. For had the martial Menelaus found the ruffian breathing yet on Argive ground, nor Earth had bit his carcass from the skies, nor Grecian virgin shrieked his obsequies, but fowls obscene dismembered his remains, and dogs had torn him on the naked plains. While us the works of bloody Mars employed, the wanton youth in glorious peace enjoyed, he stretched at ease in Argos' calm recess, whose stately steeds luxuriant pastures bless, with flatteries insinuating art soothed the frail queen, and poisoned all her herd. At first, with the worthy shame and decent pride, the royal dame his lawless suit denied. For virtue's image yet possessed her mind. Taught by a master of the tuneful kind, Atreides, parting for the Trojan War, consigned the youthful consort to his care. True to his charge, the bard preserved her long in honor's limits, such the power of song. But when the gods these objects of their hate dragged to the destruction by the links of fate, the bard they banished from his native soil, and left all helpless in a desert isle, there he, the sweetest of the sacred train, sung dying to the rocks, but sung in vain. Then virtue was no more, her guard away, she fell, to lust a voluntary prey. Even to the temple stalked the adulterous spouse, with impious thanks, and mockery of the vows, with images, with garments, and with gold, and odorous fumes from loaded altars rolled. Meantime from flaming Troy we cut the way with Menelaus, through the curling sea. But when to Sunium's sacred point we came, crowned with the temple of the Athenian dame, Atrides' pilot, Phrontes, there expired, Phrontes, of all the songs of men admired to steer the bounding bark with steady toil, when the storm thickens, and the billows boil, while yet he exercised the steerman's art, Apollo touched him with his gentle dart, even with the rudder in his hand, he fell. To pay whole honors to the shades of hell, we checked our haste, by pious office bound, and laid our old companion in the ground. And now the rites discharged, our course we keep far on the gloomy bosom of the deep, soon as Malaya's misty tops arise, sudden a thunderer blackens all the skies, and the winds whistle, and the surges roll mountains on mountains, and obscure the pole. The tempest scatters, and divides our fleet, part, the storm urges on the coast of Crete, where winding round the rich Sidonian plain, the streams of Jardin issue to the main. There stands a rock, high, eminent and steep, whose shaggy brow o'erhangs the shady deep, and views Gortyna on the western side. On this rough Auster drove the impetuous tide, with broken force the billows rolled away, and heaved the fleet into the neighboring bay. Thus saved from death, they gained the Phaistan shores, with shattered vessels and disabled oars, but five tall barks the winds and water tossed, far from their fellows, on the Egyptian coast. There wandered Menelaus through foreign shores amassing gold, and gathering naval stores, while cursed Aegis just the detested deed by fraud fulfilled, and his great brother bled. 7 years, the traitor rich Mycenae swayed, and his stern rule the groaning land obeyed. The eighth, from Athens to his realm restored, Orestes brandished the avenging sword, slew the dire pair, and gave to funeral flame the vile assassin and adulterous dame. That day, ere yet the bloody triumph cease, returned Atreides to the coast of Greece, and safe to Argos port his navy brought, with gifts of price and ponderous treasure fraught. Hence warned, my son, beware. Nor idly stand too long a stranger to thy native land, lest heedless absence wear thy wealth away, while lawless feasters in thy palace away, perhaps may seize thy realm, and share the spoil, and though return, with disappointed toil, from thy vain journey, to a rifled isle. However, my friend, indulge one labor more, and seek Atreides on the Spartan shore. He, wandering long a wider circle made, and many languaged nations has surveyed, and measured tracks unknown to other ships, amid the monstrous wonders of the deeps, a length of ocean and unbounded sky, which scarce the sea fowl in a year o'erfly. Go then, To Sparta take the watery way, thy ship and sailors but for orders stay, or, if my land then choose thy course to bend, my steeds, my chariots, and my songs, attend, thee to a treatise they shall safe convey, guides of thy road, companions of thy way. Urge him with truth to frame his wise replies, and sure he will, for Menelaus is wise. Thus while he speaks the ruddy sun descends, and twilight gray her evening shade extends. Then thus the blue-eyed maid, O full of days! Wise are thy words, and just are all thy ways. Now immolate the tongues, and mix the wine, sacred to Neptune and the powers divine. The lamp of day is quenched beneath the deep, and soft approach the balmy hours of sleep, nor fits it to prolong the heavenly feast, timeless, indecent, but retire to rest. So spake Jove's daughter, the celestial maid, the sober train attended and obeyed. The sacred heralds on their hands around pour the full urns, the youths the goblets crowned, from bowl to bowl the homely beverage flows, while to the final sacrifice they rose. The tongues they cast upon the fragrant flame, and pour, above, the consecrated stream. And now, their thirst by copious draughts allayed, the youthful hero and the Athenian maid propose departure from the finished rite, and in their hollow bark to pass the night, but this hospitable sage denied, forbid it, Jove. And all the gods. He cried, thus from my walls and the much-loved son to send of such a hero, and of such a friend. Me, as some needy peasant, would ye leave, whom heaven denies the blessing to relieve. Me would ye leave, who boast imperial sway, when beds of royal state invite your stay. No long as life this mortal shall inspire, or as my children imitate their sire. Here shall the wandering stranger find his home, and hospitable rites adorn the dome. Well hast thou spoke, the blue-eyed maid replies, beloved old man. Benevolent as wise. Be the kind dictates of thy heart obeyed, and let thy words Telemachus persuade. He to thy palace shall thy steps pursue, I to the ship, to give the orders due, prescribe directions and confirm the crew. For I alone sustain their naval cares, who boast experience from these silver hairs, all youths the rest, whom to this journey move like years, like tempers, and their princes love there in the vessel shall I pass the night, and, soon as morning paints the fields of light, I go to challenge from the Caucon's bold a debt, contracted in the days of old, but this, thy guest, received with friendly care let thy strong coursers swift to Sparta bear, prepare thy chariot at the dawn of day, and be thy son companion of his way. Then, turning with the word, Minerva flies, and soars an eagle through the liquid skies. Vision divine. The thronged spectators gaze in holy wonder fixed, and still amaze. But chief the reverend sage admired, he took the hand of young Telemachus, and spoke, O, happy youth! And favored of the skies, distinguished care of guardian deities. Whose early years for future worth engage, no vulgar manhood, no ignoble age. For lo, none other of the course above, than she, the daughter of almighty Jove, Pallas herself, the war triumphant maid, confessed as thine, as once thy father's aid. So guide me, goddess. So propitious shine on me, my consort, and my royal line. A yearling bullock to thy name shall smoke, untamed, unconscious of the galling yoke, with ample forehead, and yet tender horns, whose budding honors ductile gold adorns. Submissive thus the hoary sire preferred his holy vow, the favoring goddess heard. Then, slowly rising, o'er the sandy space proceeds the father, followed by his race, a long procession, timely marching home in comely order to the regal dome. There when arrived, on thrones around him placed, his sons and grandsons the wide circle graced. To these the hospitable sage, in sign of social welcome, mixed the racy wine, late from the mellowing cask restored to light, by 10 long years refined, and rosy bright. To Pallas high the foaming bowl he crowned, and sprinkled large libations on the ground. Each drinks a full oblivion of his cares, and to the gifts of balmy sleep repairs. Deep in a rich alcove the prince was laid, and slept beneath the pompous colonnade, fast by his side Pisistratus was spread, in age his equal, on a splendid bed, but in an inner court, securely closed, the reverend Nestor and his queen reposed. When now Aurora, daughter of the dawn, with rosy luster purpled o'er the lawn, the old man early rose, walked forth, and sate on polished stone before his palace gate, with unguents smooth the lucid marble shone, where ancient Neleus sate, a rustic throne, but he descending to the infernal shade, sage Nestor felt it, and the scepter swayed. His sons around him mild obeisance pay, and duteous take the orders of the day. First Theophron and Stratius quit their bed, then Perseus, Aretas, and Thrasymed, the last Pisistratus arose from rest, they came, and near him placed the stranger guest. To these the senior thus declared his will, my sons. The dictates of your sire fulfill. To Pallas, first of gods, prepare the feast, who graced our rites, a more than mortal guest let one, dispatchful, bid some swain to lead a well-fed bullock from the grassy mead, one seek the harbor where the vessels moor, and bring thy friends, Telemachus. Ashore, leave only two the galley to attend, another Laerceus must we send, artist divine, whose skillful hands enfold the victim's horn with circumfusal gold. The rest may hear the pious duty share, and bid the handmaids for the feast prepare, the seats to range, the fragrant wood to bring, and limpid waters from the living spring. He said, and busy each his care bestowed, already at the gates the bullock load, already came the Ithacensian crew, the dexterous smith the tools already drew, his ponderous hammer and his anvil sound, and the strong tongs to turn the metal round. Nor was Minerva absent from the rite, she viewed her honors, and enjoyed the sight. With reverent hand the king presents the gold, which round the entorted horns the gilder rolled. So wrought as Pallas might with pride behold. Young Aretas from forth his bride bower brought the full laver, o'er their hands to pour, and canisters of consecrated flour. Stratius and Echephron the victim led, the axe was held by warlike Thrasymed, in act to strike, before him Perseus stood, the vase extending to receive the blood. The king himself initiates to the power, scatters with quivering hand the sacred flour, and the stream sprinkles, from the curling brows the hair collected in the fire he throws. Soon as due vows on every part were paid, and sacred weed upon the victim laid, strong Thrasymed discharged the speeding blow full on his neck, and cut the nerves in two. Down sunk the heavy beast, the females round maids, wives, and matrons, mix a shrilling sound. Nor scorned the queen the holy choir to join, the firstborn she, of old Clymenus line, in youth by Nestor loved, of spotless fame. And loved in age, Eurydice her name. From earth they rear him, struggling now with death, and Nestor's youngest stops the vents of breath. The soul forever flies, on all sides round streams the black blood, and smokes upon the ground the beast they then divide and disunite the ribs and limbs, observant of the rite, on these, in double calls involved with art, the choicest morsels lay from every part. The sacred sage before his altar stands, turns the burnt offering with his holy hands, and pours the wine. And bids the flames aspire, the youth with instruments surround the fire. The thighs now sacrificed, and entrails dressed, the assistants part, transfix, and broil the rest while these officious tend the rites divine. The last fair branch of the Nestorian line, sweet Polycaste, took the pleasing toil to bathe the prince, and pour the fragrant oil. O'er his fair limbs a flowery vest he throw, and issued, like a god, to mortal view. His former seat beside the king he found. His people's father with his peers around, all placed at ease the holy banquet join, and in the dazzling goblet laughs the wine. The rage of thirst and hunger now suppressed, the monarch turns him to his royal guest, and for the promised journey bids prepare the smooth-haired horses, and the rapid car. Observant of his word, tire word scarce spoke, the sons obey, and join them to the yoke. Then bread and wine a ready handmaid brings, and presents, such as suit the state of kings. The glittering seat Telemachus ascends, his faithful guide Pisistratus attends, with hasty hand the ruling reins he drew, he lashed the coursers, and the coursers flew. Beneath the bounding yoke alike they hold their equal pace, and smoked along the field. The towers of Pylos sink, its views decay, fields after fields fly back, till close of day, then sunk the sun, and darkened all the way. To Pherae now, Diocleus' stately seat, of Alpheus' race, the weary youths retreat. His house affords the hospitable rite, and pleased they sleep. The blessing of the night. But when Aurora, daughter of the dawn, with rosy luster purpled o'er the lawn, again they mount, their journey to renew, and from the sounding portico they flew. Along the waving fields their way they hold the fields receding as their chariot rolled, then slowly sunk the ruddy globe of light, and o'er the shaded landscape rushed the night. Book 4. Argument. The conference with Menelaus. Telemachus with Pisistratus arriving at Sparta, is hospitably received by Menelaus to whom he relates the cause of his coming, and learns from him many particulars of what befell the Greeks since the destruction of Troy. He dwells more at large upon the prophecies of Proteus to him in his return, from which he acquaints Telemachus that Ulysses is detained in the island of Calypso. In the meantime the suitors consult to destroy Telemachus on the voyage home. Penelope is apprised of this, but comforted in a dream by Pallas, in the shape of her sister Ithema. And now proud Sparta with their wheels resounds, Sparta whose walls a range of hills surrounds, at the fair dome the rapid labor ends, where Sate Atreides midst his bridal friends, with double vows invoking Hymen's power, to bless his sons and daughters' nuptial hour. That day, To great Achilles' son resigned, Hermione, the fairest of her kind, was sent to crown the long protracted joy, espoused before the final doom of Troy, with steeds and gilded cars, a gorgeous train attend the nymphs to Thia's distant reign. Meanwhile at home, to Megapenthes' bed the virgin choir Elector's daughter led. Brave Megapenthes from a stolen amour to great Atreides' age his handmaid bore, to Helen's bed the gods alone assign Hermione, to extend the regal line, on whom a radiant pomp o' graces wait, resembling Venus in attractive state. While this gay friendly troop the king surround, with festival and mirth the roofs resound, a bard amid the joyous circle sings high airs attempered to the vocal strings, whilst warbling to the varied strain, advance two sprightly youths to form the bounding dance. 'Twas then, that issuing through the palace gate, the splendid car rolled slow in regal state, on the bright eminence young Nestor shone, and fast beside him great Ulysses' son, grave Eetionius saw the pomp appear, and speeding, thus addressed the royal ear. Two youths approach, whose semblant features prove their blood devolving from the source of Jove his due reception deigned, or must they bend their doubtful course to seek a distant friend? Insensate. With a sigh the king replies, too long, misjudging, have I thought thee wise but sure relentless folly steals thy breast, obdurate to reject the stranger guest, to those dear hospitable rites a foe, which in my wanderings oft relieved my woe, fed by the bounty of another's board, till pitying Jove my native realm restored straight be the coursers from the car released. Conduct the youths to grace the genial feast. The seneschal, rebuked, in haste withdrew, with equal haste a menial train pursue, part led the coursers, from the car enlarged, each to a crib with choicest grain surcharged, part in a portico, profusely graced with rich magnificence, the chariot placed, then to the dome the friendly pair invite, who eye the dazzling roofs with vast delight, resplendent as the blaze of summer noon, or the pale radiance of the midnight moon. From room to room their eager view they bend thence to the bath, a beauteous pile, descend, where a bright damsel train attends the guests with liquid odors, and embroidered vests. Refreshed, they wait them to the bower of state, where, circled with his pairs, a Atreides' sate, throned next the king, a fair attendant brings the purest product of the crystal springs, high on a massy vase of silver mold, the burnished laver flames with solid gold, in solid gold the purple vintage flows, and on the board a second banquet rose. When thus the king, with hospitable port, accept this welcome to the Spartan court, the waste of nature let the feast repair, then your high lineage and your names declare, say from what sceptred ancestry ye claim, recorded eminent in deathless fame, for vulgar parents cannot stamp their race with signatures of such majestic grace. Ceasing, benevolent he straight assigns the royal portion of the choicest chines to each accepted friend, with grateful haste they share the honors of the rich repast. Sufficed, soft whispering thus to Nestor's son, his head reclined, young Ithacus begun. View'st thou unmoved, O ever honored most, these prodigies of art, and wondrous cost. Above, beneath, around the palace shines the sunless treasure of exhausted mines, the spoils of elephants the roofs inlay, and studded amber darts the golden ray, such, and not nobler, in the realms above my wonder dictates is the dome of Jove. The monarch took the word, and grave replied, presumptuous are the vaunts, and vain the pride of man, who dares in pomp with Jove contest, unchanged, immortal, and supremely blessed. With all my affluence, when my woes are weighed, envy will own the purchase dearly paid. For 8 slow circling years, by tempests tossed, from Cyprus to the far Phoenician coast, Sidon the capital, I stretched my toil through regions fattened with the flows of Nile. Next Ethiopia's utmost bound explore, and the parched borders of the Arabian shore, then warp my voyage on the southern gales, or the warm Libyan wave to spread my sails, that happy clime, where each revolving year the teeming ewes a triple offspring bear, and 2 fair crescents of translucent horn the brows of all their young increase adorn, the shepherd swains, with sure abundance blessed, on the fat flock and rural dainties feast, nor one of herbage makes the dairy fail, but every season fills the foaming pail. Whilst, heaping unwashed wealth, I distant roam, the best of brothers, at his natal home, by the dire fury of a traitorous wife, ends the sad evening of a stormy life, whence, with incessant grief my soul annoyed, these riches are possessed, but not enjoyed. My wars, the copious theme of every tongue, to you your fathers have recorded long. How favoring heaven repaid my glorious toils with a sacked palace, and barbaric spoils. Oh! Had the gods so large a boon denied in life, the just equivalent supplied to those brave warriors, who, with glory fired far from their country, in my cause expired. Still in short intervals of pleasing woe. Regardful of the friendly dues I owe, I to the glorious dead, forever dear. Indulge the tribute of a grateful tear. But oh, Ulysses, deeper than the rest that sad idea wounds my anxious breast. My heart bleeds fresh with agonizing pain, the bowl and tasteful viands tempt in vain, nor sleep's soft power can close my streaming eyes, when image to my soul as sorrows rise. No peril in my cause he sees to prove, his labors equaled only by my love, and both alike to bitter fortune born, for him to suffer, and for me to mourn. Whether he wanders on some friendly coast, or glides in Stygian gloom a pensive ghost, no fame reveals, but, doubtful of his doom, his good old sire with sorrow to the tomb declines his trembling steps, untimely care withers the blooming vigor of his heir, and the chaste partner of his bed and throne wastes all her widowed hours in tender moan. While thus pathetic to the prince he spoke, from the brave youth the streaming passion broke, studious to veil the grief, in vain repressed, his face he shrouded with his purple vest. The conscious monarch pierced the coy disguise, and viewed his filial love with vast surprise, dubious to press the tender theme, or wait to hear the youth inquire his father's fate. In this suspense bright Helen graced the room, before her breathed a gale of rich perfume. So moves, adorned with each attractive grace, the silver-shafted goddess of the chase. The seat of majesty Adraste brings, with art illustrious, for the pomp of kings, to spread the pall, beneath the regal chair, of softest wool, is bright Alcippe's care. A silver canister, divinely wrought, in her soft hands the beauteous phial abroad, to Sparta's queen of old the radiant vase Alcandra gave, a pledge of royal grace, for Polybus her lord, whose sovereign sway the wealthy tribes of Pharian Thebes obey, when to that court Atrides came, caressed with vast munificence the imperial guest, two lavers from the richest store refined, with silver tripods, the kind host assigned, and bounteous from the royal treasure told 10 equal talents of refulgent gold. Alcandra, consort of his high command, a golden distaff gave to Helen's hand, and that rich vase, with living sculpture wrought, which heaped with wool the beauteous phial abrought the silken fleece, empurpled for the loom, rivaled the hyacinth and vernal bloom. The sovereign seat then Jove-born Helen pressed, and pleasing thus her sceptered lord addressed. Who grace our palace now, that friendly pair, speak they their lineage, or their names declare? Uncertain of the truth, yet uncontrolled, hear me the bodings of my breast unfold. With wonder wrapped on yonder check I trace the feature of the Ulyssean race, diffused o'er each resembling line appear, in just similitude, the grace and air of young Telemachus. The lovely boy, who blessed Ulysses with a father's joy, what time the Greeks combined their social arms, to avenge the stain of my ill-fated charms. Just as thy thought, the king assenting cries, methinks Ulysses strikes my wondering eyes, full shines the father in the filial frame, his port, his features, and his shape the same. Such quick regards his sparkling eyes bestow, such wavy ringlets o'er his shoulders flow, and when he heard the long disastrous store of cares, which in my cause Ulysses bore, dismayed, heart wounded with paternal woes, above restraint the tide of sorrow rose, cautious to let the gushing grief appear, his purple garment veiled the falling tear. See there confessed, Pisistratus replies, the genuine worth of Ithacus the wise. Of that heroic sire the youth is sprung, but modest awe hath chained his timorous tongue. Thy voice, O king, with pleased attention heard, is like the dictates of a god revered. With him, at Nestor's high command, I came, whose age I honor with a parent's name. By adverse destiny constrained to sue for counsel and redress, he sues to you whatever ill the friendless orphan bears, bereaved of parents in his infant years, still must the wronged Telemachus sustain, if, hopeful of your aid, he hopes in vain, affianced in your friendly power alone, the youth would vindicate the vacant throne. Is Sparta blessed, and these desiring eyes view my friend's son? The king exulting cries, son of my friend, by glorious toils approved, whose sword was sacred to the man he loved, mirror of constant faith, revered and mourned when Troy was ruined, had the chief returned, no Greek in equal space had e'er possessed, of dear affection, in my grateful breast. I, to confirm the mutual joys we shared, for his abode a capital prepared, Argos, the seat of sovereign rule, I chose, fair in the plan the future palace rose, where my Ulysses and his race might reign, and portion to his tribes the wide domain, to them my vassals had resigned a soil, with teeming plenty to reward their toil. There with commutual zeal we both had strove in acts of dear benevolence and love, brothers in peace, not rivals in command, and death alone dissolved the friendly band. Some envious power the blissful scene destroys, vanished o'er all the visionary joys, the soul of friendship to my hope is lost, fated to wander from his natal coast. He ceased, a gush of grief began to rise, fast streams a tide from beauteous Helen's eyes, fast for the sire the filial sorrows flow, The weeping monarch swells the mighty woe, thy cheeks, Pisistratus, the tears bedew, while pictured so thy mind appeared in view, thy martial brother, on the Phrygian plain extended pale, by swarthy Memnon slain. But silence soon the son of Nestor broke, and melting with fraternal pity, spoke. Frequent, O king, was Nestor wont to raise and charm attention with thy copious praise, to crowd thy various gifts, the sage assign the glory of a firm capacious mind, with that superior attribute control this unavailing impotence of soul, let not your roof with echoing grief resound, now for the feast the friendly bull is crowned, but when, from dewy shade emerging bright, Aurora streaks the sky with orient light, let each deplore his dead, the rites of woe are all, alas! The living can bestow, or the congenial dust enjoin to shear the graceful curl, and drop the tender tear. Then, mingling in the mournful pomp with you, I'll pay my brother's ghost a warrior's due, and mourn the brave Antilochus, a name not unrecorded in the rolls of fame, with strength and speed superior formed, in fight to face the foe, or intercept his flight, too early snatched by fate ere known to me. I boast a witness of his worth in thee. Young and mature. The monarch thus rejoins, in thee renewed the soul of Nestor shines, formed by the care of that consummate sage, in early bloom an oracle of age. Whene'er his influence Jove vouchsafes to shower, to bless the natal in the nuptial hour, from the great sire transmissive to the race, the boon devolving gives distinguished grace. Such, happy Nestor, was thy glorious doom, around thee, full of years, thy offspring bloom. Expert of arms, and prudent in debate, the gifts of heaven to guard thy hoary state. But now let each become his troubled breast, wash, and partake serene the friendly feast. To move thy suit, Telemachus, delay, till heaven's revolving lamp restores the day. He said, Asphalion swift the laver brings, alternate, all partake the grateful springs, then from the rites of purity repair, and with keen gust the savory viands share. Meantime, with genial joy to warm the soul, bright Helen mixed a mirth-inspiring bowl, tempered with drugs of sovereign use, to assuage the boiling bosom of tumultuous rage, to clear the cloudy front of wrinkled care, and dry the tearful sluices of despair, charmed with that virtuous draught, the exalted mind all sense of woe delivers to the wind. Though on the blazing pile his parent lay, or a loved brother groaned his life away, or darling son, oppressed by ruffian force, fell breathless at his feet, a mangled corse, from morn to eve, impassive and serene, the man entranced would view the dreadful scene these drugs, so friendly to the joys of life. Bright Helen learned from Thone's imperial wife, who swayed the scepter, where prolific Nile with various simples clothes the fattened soil. With wholesome herbage mixed, the direful bane of vegetable venom taints the plain, from Paean sprung, their patron god imparts to all the Pharian race his healing arts. The beverage now prepared to inspire the feast, the circle thus the beauteous queen addressed. Throned in omnipotence, supremest Jove tempers the fates of human race above, by the firm sanction of his sovereign will, alternate are decreed our good and ill. To feastful mirth be this white hour assigned, and sweet discourse, the banquet of the mind myself, assisting in the social joy, will tell Ulysses' bold exploit in Troy, sole witness of the deed I now declare speak you, who saw, his wonders in the war. Seamed o'er with wounds, which his own saber gave, in the vile habit of a village slave, the foe deceived, he passed the tented plain, in Troy to mingle with the hostile train. In this attire secure from searching eyes, till happily piercing through the dark disguise, the chief I challenged, he, whose practiced wit knew all the serpent mazes of deceit, eludes my search, but when his form I viewed fresh from the bath, with fragrant oils renewed, his limbs in military purple dressed, each brightening grace the genuine Greek confessed. A previous pledge of sacred faith obtained, till he the lines in Argive fleet regained, to keep his stay concealed, the chief declared the plans of war against the town prepared. Exploring then the secrets of the state, he learned with best might urge the Dardan fate, and, safe returning to the Grecian host, sent many a shade to Pluto's dreary coast. Loud grief resounded through the towers of Troy, but my pleased bosom glowed with secret joy, for then, with dire remorse and conscious shame I viewed the effects of that disastrous flame, which, kindled by the imperious queen of love, constrained me from my native realm to rove, and oft in bitterness of soul deplored my absent daughter and my dearer lord, admired among the first of human race, for every gift of mind and manly grace. Right well, replied the king, your speech displays the matchless merit of the chief you praise, heroes in various climes myself have found, for martial deeds and depth of thought renowned, but Ithacus, unrivaled in his claim, may boast a title to the loudest fame, in battle calm he guides the rapid storm, wise to resolve, and patient to perform. What wondrous conduct in the chief appeared, when the vast fabric of the steed we reared. Some demon, anxious for the Trojan doom, urged you with great Deiphobus to come, to explore the fraud, with guile opposed to guile. Slow pacing thrice around the insidious pile, each noted leader's name you thrice invoke, your accent varying as their spouses spoke. The pleasing sounds each latent warrior warmed, but most Tydides and coy heart alarmed, to quit the steed we both impatient press threatening to answer from the dark recess. Unmoved the mind of Ithacus remained, and the vain ardors of our lovers trained, but Onyclus, unable to control, spoke loud the language of his yearning soul, Ulysses straight, with indignation fired, for so the common care of Greece required, firm to his lips his forceful hands applied, till on his tongue the fluttering murmurs died. Meantime Minerva, from the fraudful horse, back to the court of Priam bent your course. Inclement fate. Telemachus replies, frail is the boasted attribute of wise, the leader mingling with the vulgar host, is in the common mass of matter lost. But now let sleep the painful waste repair of sad reflection and corroding care. He ceased, the menial fare that round her wait, at Helen's beck prepare the room of state, beneath an ample portico they spread the downy fleece to form the slumberous bed, and door soft palls of purple grain unfold rich tapestry, stiff with interwoven gold, then, through the illumined dome, to balmy rest the obsequious herald guides each princely guest, while to his regal bower the king ascends, and beauteous Helen on her lord attends. Soon as the morn, in orient purple dressed, unbarred the portal of the roseate east, the monarch rose, magnificent to view, the imperial mantle or his vest he threw, the glittering zone athwart his shoulders cast, a starry falchion low depending graced, clasped on his feet the embroidered sandals shine, and forth he moves, majestic and divine, instant to young Telemachus he pressed, and thus benevolent his speech addressed. Say, royal youth, sincere of soul report what cause hath led you to the Spartan court? Do public or domestic care constrain this toilsome voyage o'er the surgy main? O highly flavored delegate of Jove! Replies the prince, inflamed with filial love, and anxious hope, to hear my parents' doom, a suppliant to your royal court I come, our sovereign seed elude usurping race with lawless riot and misrule disgrace, to pampered insolence devoted fall prime of the flock, and choicest of the stall, for wild ambition wings their bold desire, and all to mount the imperial bed aspire. But prostrate I implore, O king! Relate the mournful series of my father's fate, each known disaster of the man disclose, born by his mother to a world of woes. Recite them, nor inerring pity fear to wound with storied grief the filial ear. If fair Ulysses, to reclaim your right, avowed his zeal in counsel or in fight, if Phrygian camps the friendly toils attest, to the sire's merit give the son's request. Deep from his inmost soul Atreides sighed, and thus, indignant, to the prince replied, heavens! Would a soft, inglorious, dastard train an absent hero's nuptial joys profane. So with her young, amid the woodland shades, a timorous hind the lion's court invades, leaves in the fatal lair the tender fawns, climbs the green cliff, or feeds the flowery lawns, meantime returned, with dire remorseless sway, the monarch savage rends the trembling prey. With equal fury, and with equal fame, Ulysses soon shall reassert his claim. O Jove supreme, whom gods and men revere! And thou! To whom 'tis given to gild the sphere. With power congenial joined, propitious aid the chief adopted by the martial maid. Such to our